broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2020. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful, restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, lovingliberty.net, our syndicated radio network. Spread the word, tell the tale, download the Android or iPhone apps. Listen live and on demand to your heart's content. Not to mention, of course, the website, lovingliberty.networks as well. Anyway, let's do the recap of yesterday's show first. We had two guests on first hour, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. We talked about the tyranny of the Great Reset, writes Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com, talking about a financial reset, a societal reset, a global warming reset. I mean, everything is kind of reset to steal your liberty, ladies and gentlemen. Beware. We also talked about, is the second wave of the coronavirus. Is it a hoax? The answer is yes. Not a hoax that there's a coronavirus. Not a hoax that there might even be a second wave. The hoax is that you have to ruin every other aspect of life. You can't have any associations with anybody you love. But, of course, you can go out and riot and tear down statues and destroy and rape and pillage and plunder and murder. That's all okay, because the ends justify the means, you racist pigs. See, that's the idea they're perpetuating. It's an absolute lie. You should spend your time in being loving and kind and patient and respectful and appreciative of those around you. And you should respect them by social distancing and washing your hands and doing some common sense things. But you should not run around with a mask on like it's Halloween. And you should not run around in fear. You should have faith in Almighty God. And we should get on our knees and ask for his forgiveness and repent. And we should cleanse the inner vessel. And when we do, we can change our surroundings. And if we turn to Almighty God in supplication and humility and repentance, he will protect us and heal our land. Isn't that what we all want? By the way, they say protests are not a link to the coronavirus, USA Today. So how are the protests not a link? But if I go out to get dinner peacefully with a loved one, that can spread the virus. How does that work? How do you not have a link between protesting and the virus? When everybody's in close proximity, many people don't have masks on, et cetera, et cetera. But yet if I go to the grocery store to get food for my family or whatever, then I'm a danger. See, folks, the disconnect and the double standard is beyond imagination. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, wrote a letter to his CEO about the coronavirus. We'll see how the CEO responds to the letter, hopefully next week. We talked about Drew Brees. His name is not true, but it is true. His name is Drew, that's true. All right, Drew Brees on killings in the United States, lewrockwell.com. I'm against killings, folks. God Almighty told me thou shalt not kill, and I think we ought to take that mantra to heart. The Supreme Court's, quote, dereliction of duty on qualified immunity, writes J. Schriebert. Great article, by the way. The system is rigged. Qualified immunity is how the cops state, the police state, stays in power, writes John Whitehead. So you got Jay and John tearing it up on telling you how this, quote, qualified immunity is completely bogus. It's a construct of the courts. It's a, quote, law on the books based on court case precedent, not based on legislative authority or power or scope or votes or bills, but based on manipulations of the courts over a long period of time, over several decades. It's out of control. Folks, don't believe in qualified immunity. It's what's given the cops way too much power. That plus military hardware. You stop. See, the government created the military hardware in the hands of the cops. The government also created this, quote, qualified immunity via the wrong branch of government. You see how when you violate the checks and balances and you arm people to the teeth, how it goes all wrong? We do need to rein in the cops. There's no doubt about it, folks. But that doesn't mean we should be rioting in the streets and creating mayhem. That's for sure. All right, we talked about support the Justice for Breonna Taylor Act. Heather Dialaski, I don't know how you say your name. Anyway, talks about the bill created by Rand Paul to say, look, let's not have kicking your door or no-knock warrants. Senate Bill 3955, titled, quote, Justice for Breonna Taylor Act, would end violent, unannounced entry of a suspect homes. It would end no-knock warrants. Okay, and you would say, hey, cops would not receive federal money if they do these no-knock warrants. Well, again, when you allow government just to kick in people's doors, hostile raids, armed to the teeth SWAT teams, when you give them military hardware, when you give them flat-out qualified immunity to where there's just no way to have accountability for their actions, you created the crisis that you say you need to stop. Government's created this, folks. All right, that was Hour 1, doing a great job with Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, every Monday with us. Second hour, we had a doctor, Scott Bradley, with us. To Preserve the Nation is his goal, and his collegiate series and book. FreedomsRisingSun.com is his website, talking about incredible webinars on his website, FreedomsRisingSun.com, with Q&As on the Constitution and a whole lot more of educational opportunities. Interactive webinars, if you will. Is Mary Poppins, let me say that again, Mary Poppins, is it now a racist movie? Because they got the scene where they're, you know, the soot and stuff like that, the chimney sweep, and she does blackface. Now, doesn't she? Oh, Mary, that racist. Ladies and gentlemen, this is just totally taken out of context, totally bogus. They say they want to get rid of Aunt Jemima, too, because it's too racist. But even the family of Aunt Jemima is saying, wait a minute, hold on now, you're destroying the history of America. We don't want that. But, of course, no one's listening to anybody on any side except for destruction, right? Just destroy all of our history, revise it all, yank down statues, just violate private property rights and public property, just destroy. Even the family of the Aunt Jemima group is going, wait a minute, we don't want to destroy our history. No doubt there was some dark days, but there was a lot of good there, too. And let's not just sweep the good under the rug. Let's preserve our history, and let's make sure to never repeat it. Boy, do I agree with the Aunt Jemima family. All right, Dan Caffey, that's the Chick-fil-A CEO. The guy's gone off his rocker, in my opinion. On racism in America, he says, quote, we're shameful. White people need a period of contrition. Let me ask you, Dan Caffey, let's have a two-hour discussion about this, my friend on the radio. How am I shameful? What have I done to be a racist? What have I done to be evil to anybody that's of a different color or has slightly different pigmentation in their skin than I have, friend? If I'm shameful, what have I done? You could say, Sam, society is shameful, not just you personally, but society, because, no, a lot of these examples in society are historical realities. Do we need to change them? In some cases, sure. But do we need to take people who were never slave owners, and take people who were never slaves and have them pay for Adam's transgression? See, that's wrong. I don't need a period of contrition. Okay, I did nothing wrong. You say, Sam, but you back Southern talk shows. You're right, I do. Well, Sam, you take the South side in the war, partially. I take the South side more than the North side, for sure. But not totally. I'm 1,000% against slavery. I'm even against IRS modern slavery. We're all modern slaves to the IRS, are we not? I'm the guy that says we shouldn't have government building project houses for black people. That's putting them in slavery on the government plantation. They all get a government check, and dad's gone, and poor mom's full of hate and trying to raise her children by herself, and now they're on a government plantation with government funding. I bring that up, and then they say how evil I am. But I say that's a worse form of slavery than the old kind. Both of them are horrible and should be rejected, and should be stopped. But I'm a slave to the IRS. I'm a slave to property tax and income tax. Yes, I am. And so I want to get rid of all forms of slavery for all people. I don't want to just talk about old slavery and act like, oh, that's the evil people. Look, I never owned slaves. I don't support the view of owning slaves of any kind. What about the black slave owners? Are we going to talk about those people or just ignore that? Anyway, Dan Caffey, I submit to you, sir, that I don't need to shine anybody's shoes. You want to know why? Because I'm not a shoe shiner, sir. Okay, my broadcast, I allow black people to download it just as much as white people. I encourage black people to listen just as much as white people. And by the way, I own a nationally syndicated radio network. And I have black people and white people on the radio. You want to know why? Not because they're black or because they're white. Because they're great commentators telling the truth about the sacred cause of liberty. That's why. Yeah. Religion and religious freedom in the COVID-19 era is a serious issue. We need to bind community and hope. We need to find our communities, find our hope, find our religious footing again, big time. And that goes for all Americans. And by the way, following the Prince of Peace is probably the greatest way you can learn to be kind to everyone around you and to reject racism and hate of any kind. As Jesse Lee Peterson even says, we syndicate his show, by the way, he says there's no such thing as racism. It's either good or bad. You're either acting kindly or hate-filled. And you should act kindly to everybody. Amen. Couldn't have said it better myself. We are all God's children, and we should act like it. No doubt about it. But that doesn't mean that Dan Caffey, that I'm shameful. Quit assaulting me, sir. Quit verbally or mentally or morally or assaulting me. I don't need a period of contrition. What have I done wrong? I've been preaching tolerance and kindness and patience. They preach tolerance, but they don't really mean it, huh? I'm the guy telling us all to follow the Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace and his forgiveness and atonement from the Savior Jesus Christ works for people of all colors and creeds, doesn't it? Yes, indeed it does. The Christian religion is the answer, ladies and gentlemen. Christianity, baby. All right, lawsuit. If protesters can gather, why not churches? Congregation challenges government's rejection and unequal treatment of religion in the First Amendment. Amen to that. Quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, you heard of the Dakota Ring when you're a kid, right? The NBA thinks they've got an answer. NBA is, quote, using wearables in high tech in an effort to, quote, keep players and staff safe from the coronavirus. They say when the season starts in late July at Disney World in Orlando, they're going to have these rings that will provide them with a wellness assessment. And, you know, alarms will go off when they're within 6 feet, I guess, of somebody else. So I guess when you're guarding somebody in the NBA, that ring's going to go off 24-7. Because don't you guard closer than 6 feet in basketball, Kurt? Yeah, I'm kind of stupid. Maybe I don't understand the sport.
Well, if you don't, yeah, the other guy's going to score.
Open season on burying buckets, Kurt? Is that how it is?
That's right.
All I'm telling you is it's just insane. I don't even understand what they're talking about. First off, we don't even know if these rings work in terms of a wellness reality check. Secondly, this idea that we're going to, you know, have an alarm go off if you're within 6 feet of others. 9 times out of 10, when you're out anywhere in public, Kurt, that thing's going to be going off. Unless you're out in the woods by yourself or something. But, I mean, look, you just can't be 6 feet away from everybody all the time. It's just not feasible. I mean, think about 6 feet in a literal sense in a line in the store, ladies and gentlemen. If you were 6 feet apart and you had 10 people in line, the line would be 60 feet long. That's if you just did the exact 6 feet for everybody. Think about that. You have 30 people in the line, the line's like 180 feet long. Yeah, but it's just insane, folks. It's not realistic. I digress, except to say, folks, we have got to get a handle on society. Okay, now they're saying everybody's going to be mentally ill because of the abuses we've taken under the coronavirus lockdown and the psychotic riots that are going on. And people are just getting shell-shocked to where they're going to have, what do they call that thing, PSD? Everybody's just going to be melting down and just under a panic, they claim. Then they'll basically say, hey, we need mental health laws, mental health guidance. And then the government will create mental health crises 20, 30, 40 years later. You'll go, man, we shouldn't have done that. That was horrible. And we're just going to go around and around and around and around. And every time we look for truth in all the wrong places, baby, if you want truth, you go to God's laws. The Ten Commandments is your starting point, folks. And the two great commandments to which the law hangeth. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, might, mind, and strength, and love thy neighbor. I know I sound like a broken record on this, ladies and gentlemen, but it is clearly the only answer. And until we get that, look, getting rid of the police, empowering the police, defunding the police, doubling the funding for the police. Government always wants to do something, and none of the answers are right. Proper education for the cops to know their relationship to God and their relationship to the proper role of limited constitutional government is the answer. Keeping their oaths of office is the answer. But until we teach these fundamental principles based on the Ten Commandments, based on how we should treat one another, look, there are no answers. Cops, instead of being in their expensive cop cars driving around or hanging out at donut shops, need to be on the beat, on their feet with the people so that they know the people in their neighborhoods. But now some neighborhoods are way too big for that. Other neighborhoods are too far spread out for that. Those are some things we could change. Right? Maybe a county sheriff with deputized people in the community would make an answer. Maybe neighborhood watch programs should be brought back. There's a lot of peaceful ways that don't require government funding, that require involvement from the people in terms of personal responsibility. It's called self-government, folks, that could make a tremendous difference. All right, Donald Trump had a rally on Saturday night. They say it was the biggest rally in the world at the time because of the coronavirus and stuff like that. And the battle's on for how the breakdown of the battle of the rally went. The mainstream press wants you to believe that it was horrible, that Donald Trump looked horrible, that nobody showed up. It was just absolutely a meltdown. It was a misstep for the president. It was just, oh my gosh, how bogus it was. Until you get the real details, and then you start to think differently. Kurt, do you have any details on this rally? I got a bunch of bullet points for you, some from the mainstream press, and then some from other sources.
You know, yeah, I would just, at least to me, some of the takeaway from the main stuff that they're trying to push about it is that, hey, you know, there were hardly anybody there, they had empty seats, and, you know, it's true, there were some empty seats, which is about the first time I've ever seen any of the president's rallies have any empty seats, but... after I guess there were a bunch of like fake reserved seats from a bunch of people, and you know, where the enemies or the opponents of the president had their bots or whatever take a bunch of the seats or whatever, and so then, you know, the president reported they had like a million requests for seats, and then people thought they had to have a ticket, and so then if they didn't have a ticket, then they decided not to come, and then you had all the media telling them that even though we had all these thousands of people ripping up, breaking down buildings and doing all this kind of stuff, and they were all safe with the coronavirus, that these guys were going to be basically, you know, killing the earth, you know, and all the people around them if they showed up to the rally. You know, even after all that, and then the Black Lives Matter people were outside holding up the people from being able to get in, even after all that, they had, what, 6,200 people, something like that.
It's interesting to me. When they don't want to announce the numbers, they claim they don't know how many people attended something. When they want to announce the numbers, right, they certainly have accurate numbers, they claim. So I think there was more people there than that, number one. Now, they say 6,200 tickets or whatever, but again, it all depends on what you mean by being there. Maybe I get there and I choose not to go into the arena for whatever reason. But here's what I'm saying. Ocasio-Cortez and others are saying that they used this TikTok app and these different things to manipulate the numbers and the results and, you know, supposedly reserve seats and do all these different things. And there's a debate on that narrative. Some of the Democrats are saying that's not the way it went. We didn't do that. We didn't mess with President Trump and his numbers. Some Democrats are saying, yes, we did. The Trump administration saying that's not true. Tickets are on a first-come, first-served basis. But there's no doubt there's a lot of manipulation around this. There's no doubt there were empty seats. There's no doubt that the Tulsa rally had lower numbers than expected. And there's no doubt that the Trump campaign did cancel the outdoor address that was expected for supporters in Tulsa. They had an outdoor address planned because they thought, hey, we're not going to be able to talk to all the people. So we'll do an indoor venue, a long form one, and then a short, at least acknowledging and appreciating those who were outside. That's the problem here, folks. But when you think about rioters not wearing masks, while many Americans were forced to remain in lockdown, exposes the government leader double standard. Says the MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell at the President Trump's Great American Comeback Rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now, here's the thing that I would like to say about this. I have never seen President Trump have empty seats like that before. Okay, so whether it's the coronavirus and people are paranoid because of the propaganda of the media forever, or whether people couldn't get to Oklahoma, or whether people were blocked from Antifa and Black Lives Matter, or whether people were confused over tickets, or whether tickets were, quote, sold out or whatever you want to say so that people couldn't get them because bots and people who never intended to go locked up the tickets, or, you know, give 66 narratives. And I don't know the answer of why or how or what, but the mainstream press is using this to literally mock the president and say nobody really came to the rally. It was a total stumble. It was horrible. Donald Trump was livid mad about all that stuff, etc. I don't believe that the narrative is true at all, Kurt. I think the mainstream press is lying, and they've lied, and they've manipulated this from the get-go. Now, McEnany basically says, look, that's a lie. The president wasn't all mad and crazy and angry and melting down. Yeah, we expected more people to be there, and it didn't turn out that way. But what do you mean by support for the president? And this is the, kind of the thing. They're trying to make you believe there's not really support for the president. By golly, Donald Trump is kind of on the ropes. He's about to go down. This is the narrative they're trying to pitch. It's an absolute complete lie. First off, 6,200 people going to rally, Kurt, although small for President Trump's normalcy and small for the arena, is a huge number of people. How many people can go to a place and speak and get 6,200 people to attend? Defying all odds, I might add, to get there. Kurt, how many people can make that happen?
It's a great point. I mean, one of the key things is, you know, just the scare that the media and, you know, how you've taught us for years, he who owns the media makes the rules. When the media constantly pumps out, oh, there's more cases of coronavirus, it's more danger, you know, you've got to wear a mask and gloves, and, you know, and the virus is just around the corner to get you, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that is enough to pretty much keep people stuck in their houses. I mean, you got a guy, there was one guy even showing up to a Walmart in Florida that was just fighting to get into the store because he didn't have a mask on, and they were holding him up at the front door and pushing him and just trying to stop him. It's just pretty crazy. Here's one little headline from Business Insider that kind of addresses the number of people. It says, Trump's campaign claims that about 12,000 people attended his Tulsa rally. The Tulsa Fire Department says there were only about 6,200. Rosie Perper with the piece.
That's how they roll, ladies and gentlemen. But again, they always accept ranges when they don't really want to nail down the numbers. Now they act like they have everybody's got the facts, right? Interesting, to say the least. I got a whole lot more on this topic, folks. Hang tight.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A U.S. soldier now facing charges accused of helping a neo-Nazi group plan an attack on his unit overseas. The FBI disclosing yesterday that 22-year-old Ethan Melzer was arrested earlier this month for allegedly providing details about his unit with the group, and now he's facing charges of conspiring and attempting to murder U.S. nationals and attempting to provide material support to terrorists. The White House says reports that President Trump is furious about the turnout for his Tulsa rally over the weekend are not grounded in fact. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany.
He was very energized, having been around the American people, so he's quite pleased with how the rally went.
Before the rally, campaign officials had said they expected the venue, which holds over 19,000, to be filled. In fact, around 6,200 people showed up.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root, and do I have a perfect book at the perfect time for you? Dr. Nancy Wolfe is a conservative and capitalist professor emeritus in the psychology department at UCLA, where she spent 30 years. She studied and taught about the human mind. She knows exactly what we need to hear right now as chaos and crisis descend around us. Her book is Conscious Matrix. Nancy explains why the liberals, socialists, and globalists try to destroy us right now, will not and cannot succeed, because we as Americans are wired to win, to be the greatest nation and the greatest people ever in the history of mankind. Our biology, our history, our culture, all these things are pre-wired in our minds and souls. We're literally pre-wired to win. Nancy says we have more light in our hearts and minds when we are right with God. And she says together, God, President Trump, and conservative Americans will save the soul of America. We will win. We are literally predestined to win. This is the book you need to read now, today. Purchase Conscious Matrix at LibertyHillPublishing.com. Conscious Matrix at LibertyHillPublishing.com, or available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
President Trump is halting visas for foreign workers, a move that will stop visas for tech workers, low-skill laborers, some spouses, and other types of visas, at least through the end of this year. It would not impact university professors or those working in the agriculture and food processing industries, but fellow Republican Senator Lindsey Graham says he still doesn't like the president's decision, saying it could still adversely impact the U.S. economy at the worst possible time. Rayshard Brooks' funeral is today, more than a week after he was shot by Atlanta police in a Wendy's parking lot, found sleeping in his car, and a DUI suspect at the time. Martin Luther King Jr.'s youngest daughter, the Reverend Bernice King, is expected to speak at the funeral. This a day after people came to see Brooks' casket at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, where the late Dr. King once preached. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, so we got a bunch of information on the Tulsa rally that's really important. The mainstream press want you to believe it was a complete meltdown. The contrary is true. All right, let me give you some reality checks that I think you got to be aware of. I think President Trump made so many points during the rally that need to be acknowledged by the American people. And when they basically debate the numbers forever, even though, you know, they're lying, and even though they spent well over a couple of weeks telling you how horrible it was and you'd kill everybody if you attended the rally, and all these lies, go out and tear down a statue, but don't attend President Trump's rally. Go and, murder some people and rape some people and pillage and plunder and destroy property, but don't go to church. Lies, folks. Okay, President Trump said things during the rally that I think people are missing because they're not even getting the details of the rally. They're just getting the debate over the numbers. So set aside that and say this. We acknowledge that not as many people turned out in person as we had hoped. But when you get 6,200 plus people to speak to, that's not a small number. Let's be very, very clear. A political rally with 6,200 people, how many of those do you see? And the answer is hardly any if you've been around, folks. In fact, why don't we prove it and have Joe Biden try to have a rally tomorrow and see how many people he gets?
Yeah, good point. And a little bit more from Tim Murtaugh. He's the communications director for Trump's campaign for 2020. This is what he said in a tweet. He said that 12,000 people made it past protesters and attended the rally. Said the lower bowl of the arena holds 9,000 by itself, and it was full. 12,000 is about, he says, 11,990 more than attended Joe Biden's last event. And then he says,
when did Joe Biden even have a last event? Let me ask you that question.
I know. Yeah, that's, in other words, he's saying like 10 people were there.
But I'm also saying Joe doesn't have events. The poor guy will melt down when he has events. He'll stumble and he won't even make sense at events, folks.
The next part's really important, I think. It says over 8.3 million have watched online, and I believe...
All right, so let me get to that, because I got the whole breakdown, Kurt.
Okay,
we got to not just give a little line about that. We got to break that down in detail. So hold those numbers for a second, and we'll get to them.
All right.
But I want to talk about, before we even debate the numbers further, okay, I want to get to what happened at the rally. So one of the things President Trump said is this. Donald Trump, Democrats want to take your guns as sure as you're sitting here. Okay, every American who believes in the right to keep and bear arms knows that's a fact, Kurt. So they're not talking about the gun issue, which is a critical discussion for the debates coming up and for the election. Do you want a guy who will protect your gun rights like President Trump, or do you want a rabid gun enemy such as Joe Biden? Okay, that's a critical campaign discussion point. Pro-gun, against gun. All right? President Trump also said on the Seattle Autonomous Zone, maybe we'll just watch that disaster unfold. Well, I pray you don't do that, President Trump. I know you said you were going to help clean that up, and I think that we need to do that. Again, you can say that we need to leave this to the local officials, and I agree. I don't want to bring in the military on this necessarily, but at some point you got to say, these people are beyond protesters. They're insurrectionists. They're out of control. They're trying to overthrow the United States of America. And this isn't just Chaz now. Now they're starting to create a Chaz, quote, sister city, even in Washington. Okay, they tried to topple more statues, and the, as far as I understand, the D.C. police had to come out and stop them. Good for them stopping them. All I'm saying is we need to get a handle on this sooner rather than later, or they'll have 50 cities in America that are under siege. Okay, you got to do something, and you got to do something now. Again, don't do the heavy-handed bring in the military, but you have got to do something. In my opinion, you need to use mark and reprisal-type tactics in the Constitution, and you got to take out this Chaz thug rapper leader guy. Okay, there's two or three people or 10 people that are holding this whole thing together, and if those people are taken out, it would stop the whole insurrection. So I'm not threatening violence to anybody, but I am saying we need to strategically, wisely figure out ways to, with as little fanfare as possible, stop these insurrections in America, folks. I'm telling you right now. So President Trump on the Seattle Autonomous Zone, don't just sit back and watch them melt down, sir. The repercussions are too great in America. You need to take decisive action to stop these insurrections, and you need to do so now. And I'd point you to the Constitution for guidance on how to get it done. Trump says, quote, American flag burners should go to jail for a year. Did you see that, Kurt?
I heard him say that, yeah.
All right, what do you think of that?
You know, it's funny how the people on the other side of this issue say, oh, man, it's freedom of speech to be able to burn a flag. Like, it's freedom of speech to be able to run around naked. Freedom of speech is something that has to do with talking. And, you know, I think that they start talking about freedom of expression, you know, but I'm really not for making a new law so that anybody who, like, all of a sudden there's a flag that gets burnt, you know, hey, somebody's going to jail for it. But, you know, I can see this other thing about, you know, man, these out of control guys and, I mean, they're burning up cop cars, and they say that's letting off steam. It's just crazy stuff.
Well, it is crazy stuff. And however, you didn't even answer the question. You told me all about the other side.
Yeah,
and all that
kind of said stuff. I'm not for a law that, you know, said that.
So I don't believe they should go to jail for a year either. I think people should be able to burn the flag if it's their flag. So if I own a flag, I can burn the material that's my private property, no matter what's on it. But I can't start fires, and I can't start insurrections, and I certainly shouldn't be able to burn Kurt's flag. Why? Because it's Kurt's, not mine. That's why. See, private property matters here. And if I want to buy a flag and then burn it to demonstrate my frustration or whatever else, and I peacefully do so, hey, you should be able to do that. I don't like it. I don't think it's the answer. I don't think it'll get you anywhere. But you're free to do that, see? So I don't believe American flag burners should go to jail for a year. You know, because what if you hang the flag upside down and it's a symbol of distress? Can you do that? You know? Again, I don't have a problem with free expression and or freedom of speech. But remember, folks, that you can't violate private property in the process or public property or other people's property. And you can't let your expression of frustration, such as burning the flag, to spill into the violations of other people's rights. We got to be very careful there. But I agree with Kurt. I would not make any law that puts anybody in jail for burning the flag. As long as they peacefully did it and that's all that was done, they have the right to their expression and frustrations, for sure.
Now, on the other hand, let's say they came to me and said, look, if we'll get rid of the Federal Reserve if you let us have a law that says we can put somebody in jail for a year if they burn a flag, then I said, maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, your point is, in politics, it always takes compromise, and your point is, hey, even a law against that's nothing compared to the abuse we're taking on so many other fronts. You're spot on that point as well. Yeah. And I'm not here to attack the president over it. I understand what he's trying to say. What he's trying to say, in my opinion, because I don't really believe he thinks people should go to jail. He's trying to say, burning the flag doesn't do you any good at all, folks. It's a non-starter. All it does is down America, and that's not very helpful, and we don't like it, and it's not good. I agree with all that. I agree with every bit of that. So there again, you know, when Donald says something or President Trump says something, is it tongue in cheek? Right? How much when he says something should we read into it is the question. All right. So when he says on the autonomous zone, hey, let's just watch that disaster unfold. By the way, let's let everybody just do that, but yet, put people in jail for the flag. It's not really what he's saying. He's kind of saying, should we just watch this thing melt down to demonstrate the absurd a little bit by being absurd? Putting people in jail for a year because they burned the flag compared to what's being done now? His point is that, folks, you can't have people running around destroying things. And so he makes statements oftentimes, if you isolate those statements, sound just crazy. But when you understand the point that he's trying to drive at and the point that he's trying to make, you realize sometimes some hyperbole demonstrates the point. Well, the problem is when it gets reported in the press, you miss the point that was intended in the first place. You just get the insane statement that makes you go, what? Right? So you put these two statements back to back. Donald Trump on Seattle autonomous zone. Maybe we'll just watch that disaster unfold. And then American flag burners should go to jail for a year. So do you see the point that I'm getting at? I don't think he really means either of them. As much as he's kind of trying to demonstrate, look how insane these two scenarios are, folks. Look, burning the flag does you no good. Destroying property does you no good. We need law and order here. And I would agree with his point. So we need to be a little bit careful not to take the statements and put them into one-liners and say, oh, Donald Trump doubled down. He's ready to go ahead and pass legislation or sign legislation saying everybody should go to jail for a year for the flag. I don't think he's saying that. And I don't think he's for sure saying he's just going to sit back and watch this meltdown happen. I think he's trying to demonstrate a point, folks, which is what are they doing in Seattle? Just sitting there watching it melt down while we're going to debate the flag? Are you kidding me? So I do understand his point, and I do understand that oftentimes we need to take a little bit with what do they call it, Kurt, tongue-in-cheek? Is that how they say it? On these points, because I don't think that you can take them in their isolated point, and I think you miss the point. You don't see the forest through the trees almost on some of these things if you're not very careful. Trump, quote, Joe Biden is a helpless puppet of the radical left. He said that in the rally, too, and boy, howdy, is that true. Poor Joe. I don't mean to be rude to Joe. I really think the poor gentleman needs to retire. He's done enough damage to this country for one man. Let's let him retire peacefully and, you know, put him out to pasture to spend time with his family. And let's find somebody else, shall we? All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified? Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right. So while there's 30 million people without jobs, they say Donald Trump to halt flow of foreign visa workers. Amen to that. Good for President Trump. While people are out of work, we don't need to bring in foreign folks to work. So I think that's brilliant, and I agree with the point there, folks. Listen, we need to wisely, you know what, protect our own jobs and our own workers. We need to use tariffs to do so. We also need to bring in talent when we need it sometimes as well. And there is a strategic reality check to both. How do you know when to do what? Well, when you got a lot of people out of work, let's see if we can fill it at home first. I agree with the president on this big time. So the mainstream press literally restricting their coverage to this, quote, rally in Tulsa physically on the ground. And they act like nobody showed up. When you get 6,200 at a minimum, their numbers, more like 12,000 people according to Donald Trump numbers. Just say it's in the middle somewhere, 9,000 people. I don't see many political rallies having 9,000 people in attendance. So even when they try to mock President Trump on this, they lose. They lose, folks. That is a huge, I'm going to mention a huge crowd with every single thing against him that the Democrats can throw. I mean, they threw everything in the kitchen sink included in there. You know, lie about the numbers, lie about the, just deceive, disrupt, Black Lives Matter. I mean, every single thing they could possibly think of, and he still draws 9,000 plus people? Are you kidding me? It is a home run. And because the guy tripped on first base and fell and then even had time to get up and run and still make it home, they're like, oh man, the guy tripped. I can't believe that. He tripped. The guy, I can't, oh my gosh, he must have got his shoelace caught on first base and he fell down, never mentioning that he hit it over the fence and everybody had time to make it home. Even the guy that tripped on his shoelace still made it home. And they're not even talking about the home runs and the three people that were on base. They're just talking about the poor guy tripped. Do you see how ignorant and isolated and manipulated and dishonest that narrative is, folks? Hashtag honesty is the issue, baby. All right, but we don't narrow our coverage like that. We tell the truth to the best of our ability, folks. I'm waiting for Joe Biden to have a rally and see how many people go to his, first of all. Secondly, ladies and gentlemen, President Trump's Saturday rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, broke records with Fox News's television audience, although the physical numbers may have been down on the spot. Okay, the fact is President Trump broke numbers. So this idea that nobody's interested in Trump's message is the lie. 9,000 plus people there in person, but now we broke records for Fox News. Saturday's rally, ladies and gentlemen, had 7.7 million. Did I say million viewers watching? Fox News between 8 and 10 p.m. Eastern time. That's according to early Nielsen data reports, making it the most watched Saturday in history during Fox News's that time slot, Saturday evening, in other words. It's a record. They've never had as many viewers as they had then ever in their history. The rally also resulted in Fox News seeing its biggest Saturday evening primetime audience ever for that time slot. Okay? This is crazy. This just proves, ladies and gentlemen, that no matter what the mainstream press does, they can't prevent people from seeing the president's message. Okay? They just can't. So you can mock the how many people attended if you want to, but you're lying. Secondly, even if you mock that, you got 7+ million people watching that on a Saturday evening. That number is huge. CNN and those guys are just mad because they didn't get the audience. That's all we're talking about here. Anyway, I find it very interesting that they narrow their coverage, Kurt, to the facts they can manipulate while ignoring Nielsen's ratings and ignoring the, quote, historical record-breaking for TV watching. Folks that are in Utah and all around the country, not necessarily in Tulsa, couldn't go to the rallies, folks. You can't fly hardly. You can't drive and travel hardly. There's not places to stay. You're locked down, and if you go to a different state and come back, you might not even be able to go to work because you got to quarantine. I mean, there's so many reasons that even people from afar didn't go. They're not talking about any of that. So people watched it on TV, Kurt, so much so that they broke historical records. And not a word, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam, and it's, in my opinion, one of the main points, if maybe the most important point of the whole thing. You know, that people are interested in those messages, besides the fact that, you know, you compare the president to Joe Biden. I mean, the entertainment value alone is just way different. I mean, it's like watching paint dry versus watching a football game or a basketball game or something. The president, you know, he goes through like his explanation of the whole ramp thing at West Point. It was funny, Sam. I mean, and him talking about all the saluting he had to do and then going down that ramp where he was going to be slipping and sliding. And then the media reported that he's probably got Parkinson's because he's having to go real slow. I mean, it's just, it was entertaining. I mean, you know, and you're just not going to get that from Joe Biden, even. I mean,
Joe Biden's entertaining, Kurt.
Yeah.
For all the wrong reasons.
The way Hillary tried to combat it before was she'd have, like, you know, some big entertainer at her event, you know, so people were basically getting to go to a free concert. But, I mean, it's just the president wins hands down.
Well, there you have it. And the final statement on this topic before the end of the hour that I want to highlight is this. The news media, ladies and gentlemen, which encouraged protesters and bombarded Americans for more than a week with dire warnings against attending a President Donald Trump rally, are still unable to prevent the President of the United States from reaching the people. These numbers represent unmatched enthusiasm for the president of the United States in his reelection, a massive audience that Joe Biden could only dream of. I would say that's the kind of telltale statement about the reality here. They are not telling you the truth. Just because so many people didn't turn out to the rally, a huge number did. And the question becomes if President Trump has a second one or a third one or whatever, you'll see the people start to come back. I get people are hesitant, Kurt. I'm even hesitant to go to places like that. I'm not hesitant to go because of the coronavirus per se. I'm hesitant to go because of Black Lives Matter and Antifa. I don't want to be in the middle of a violent zone where somebody shoots me as an unintended casualty, or go there and get my head beat in because I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time. Or, okay, how many of those factors relate? Who wants to be in the middle of a riot by thugs with the cops just standing down? I don't want any part of those kind of things, Kurt. And so, again, you look at this and you go, man, this is manipulated till the cows come home. And then they act like there's no support for the president. Well, I would say the online TV numbers prove there is plenty of support for the president, so much so the Democrats won't even report on the reality. Look, Nielsen ratings is supposed to be above partisan politics in their reporting. If that's true, why aren't the Democrats quoting Nielsen right now, Kurt? Because they know. They know what we know, which is they're full of lies. They're dishonest. Reporting on the truth. Honesty is the issue here. They know as well as we know the truth. The president has unprecedented numbers. In fact, President Trump might get more support from the black community than you could possibly imagine this go-round. That's something that the Democrats fear. So when you got Star Parker and Candace Owens and these wonderful black females standing up for constitutional principles, they're doing a phenomenal job. And then you throw in people like Jesse Lee Peterson, people like C.L. Bryant, people like Ben Carson, people like, you begin to realize the black folks, Kanye West, they're not falling for the lie of the Democrats anymore, which is, hey, you got to be on our plantation or else you're an evil black person. You're not really even black, says Joe Biden. Okay, how come that comment hasn't stuck? He literally told black people they're not black if they don't support him. What on earth? Okay, so people are starting to recognize the truth, though, ladies and gentlemen. And the truth shall set us free. And the more we take on these lies from the mainstream press and tell the truth. Look, President Trump has unprecedented support. There's no doubt about it. Has he dealt with some issues that are very controversial? Yes, he has. Has he made always the perfect steps? No, he has not. Has he done a stellar job in so many ways it's incalculable? Yes. Is he perfect? Far from. Can he solve all the country's problems in a short 2-3 year stint? No, nobody can. Can we expect it of him and be fair and honest and open? No, we can't. Has he violated all kinds of constitutional principles in his presidency? Yes, he has. But I submit to you that any president who is put in place will do the same. We have taken the presidency so far from what it was intended by our founding fathers that you can't help it. You can't help it. Even if I was put in there tomorrow, I'd be violating all kinds of constitutional principles too, just by my very existence in the office. The question, has President Trump moved us closer to a constitutional presidency than his predecessors? And the answer is by far. Is it enough? No, we got a long way to go. But let's not pretend it isn't happening. He's deregulated. He's stood up for pro-life. He's talked about God again. That's something other presidents haven't done for years. For years, ladies and gentlemen. So you know what? Believe it or not, I'm not really a huge Trump guy. I want a constitutional conservative, and Trump hasn't really passed muster according to that standard. However, as Kurt likes to say, and I agree with this point, which president in our lifetimes have been willing to take on and do the things that he's done? He has been willing to take the heat. He has been taken on the mainstream press for their dishonest lying. He has rejected their gatekeeping. He has stood up big time for pro-life. When have we had a president stand up for pro-life like President Trump? I said that was one of the most important issues coming into this whole Republican, I don't know what you call it, election cycle, maybe? And I said pro-life was one of the most important issues. Nobody in the Republican Party has stood up like President Trump. Nobody. He's the first president to attend the March for Life. Right? Okay, this guy has done a lot. Could he do more? Sure. We need to help him do more, without a doubt. I get it. But I am telling you, as you look at what President Trump has accomplished, he has not swooped in with the military to stop what's happening in Seattle. I think he probably needs to take a little bit more direct action than he is, in fact. So he has shown tremendous restraint in many, many, many ways. He is allowing the states and the federal government to coexist as dual sovereigns. He's letting the checks and balances work to the best of his ability. He's trying to protect our borders. He's standing up for pro-life. Has he done perfect? No, not even close. But you can't deny the progress made. You can't deny the swamp is deep. And you also can't deny that one man just can't get it done by himself. How much can you put on his shoulders to accomplish as a single person? Hey, this one man can fix America. No, morality is the only thing that can fix America. But is it true that President Trump is a baby Christian? I don't know. I haven't been personally with President Trump, but I know this. He's done more for Christian principles and religious freedom in America than any president that I've seen in modern times that has preceded him. I'll tell you that right now. He's had faith-based events in the White House. He's had more prayers at the presidential inauguration than any other president from a variety of religions. I was there for that, and it was tremendous to see. So let's be very careful. We got to acknowledge the truth. When we disagree with President Trump, that's fine. But we've also got to step back and look at the whole painting, shall we? Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Sam and Kurt, news the networks refuse to use straight ahead. We declare this nation shall endure.